Well, kia ora everybody. Welcome to the Magic Dykel Sunday Rose. Had a little bit of a technical issue, which is why, I had a couple of minutes to try and figure out what it was, and I think I've done that, so that's good. Welcome everybody, kia ora tātou. A warm welcome to you all. It's good to see you all. Welcome to all those Aussies that are tuning in as well. Good evening to you, or probably be good afternoon for you back in Australia there. But welcome, because we've got a bit of stuff to cover. I haven't broadcast since last Thursday, so... And in fact, I don't even think I did last Thursday, did I? It's reason being because I've been so busy doing some other super duper important things. Now, I will be having a full-on week this week broadcasting. I've got lots of issues to cover. But what I wanted to do tonight, before we start sort of afresh dealing with the new news items and the new information that's coming through, I really wanted to have a talk about some things tonight, including some pieces of new data, but really about with what's going on with politics and with what's going on with the freedom movement, because we're kind of losing it, I think. I do. I think we're kind of losing it out there, and we need to really think things through. I'm getting lots of emails from people saying, Billy, come on, go into politics or tell us who we should vote for. And well, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can certainly throw up some things about maybe who not to vote for without saying who they necessarily are. And you can work it out for yourself, because what I've always been about from day one is about presenting information and having you guys work it out for yourselves. That's what it's always been. It's never been me to tell you guys to believe something or follow something. It's for you to work out, and if you want to walk along the same road that I'm going to, well, that's lovely as well. Okay, but I really want you to figure things out, and that's the most important thing that we can do right now, is use this thing up here and work things out, think them through carefully, considerately, and not get sucked in. Because I reckon there's a big operation within the freedom movement to just confuse us all, to diminish and to dilute the message of the freedom movement. So I'm going to leave it there until we get to that point, all right? So we'll cover that off when we get there. But I've got a number of articles I want to talk to you about, including one last week that I raised about that voice message that was going around on Signal and on Facebook everywhere, from one of the characters that is meant to be one of those that knows what's going on. So I want to look at that, because I want to contrast it with what's actually been going on and what's actually happening out there. All right, as usual, guys, just a little bit of housekeeping. If you would like to support me in the work that I do, this is the way to do it. This is the new bank account. I've got a good article from GB News about bank accounts that you are going to have to probably think about as well at some point. People like me are easy to pick on, but they're going to go for everybody at some point. But please, if you can, if you're able to, please support me to be able to pay my legal bills, my legal fees, and to live and to keep doing what I'm doing here. If it's of no value to you what I do, then obviously don't support me. I mean, I find it ironic that you have organisations like stuff.co.nz that are receiving millions and millions and millions of dollars in government funding, yet underneath most of their articles they've got, can you donate to us? And this is a big shill media leftist socialist propaganda machine, i.e. stuff.com and others like them. And so, you know, if they've got the gall to be able to ask you for money while they are receiving millions of dollars in funding from the New Zealand government, I think I'm kind of doing the right thing asking for your support, especially with my legal fees, which are blinking scary, I tell you, they really are. All right, what else have I got here? Just again, if you'd like to email me at any point during this show, please do so. This is my email here. I normally do this at the end of the broadcast to say, look, email me. But if you want reading material, if you want to join my weekly Bible studies, if you want to connect with me and talk to me, then please feel very, very welcome to do so. This is the way to do it. Billy at IBC, India Bravo Charlie dot November Echo Tango dot November Zulu. Billy at IBC.net.nz is the way to get a hold of me that way. Now, also, I want to just bring up this little man's, and I do this all the time now. It's my thing now, to promote little Fletcher's. Where is he? There he is. Little Fletcher's fundraising efforts to get him to a hospital at the end of the year in the United States. And he's got, of course, cerebral palsy, this young man. He had a difficult birth, and then he unfortunately sustained the type of injuries from having a difficult birth that led him to getting cerebral palsy. But what we want to do is get him to the US at the end of the year, and I'm going to help his whānau, his family, raise money. So if you could, I know that I'm asking for a lot to support me and something else, but some things are just worth supporting. And you know what? At the end of the day, you can't take it with you. So if you could please go to Give a Little, Fletcher's Walking Wish, and donate just to something, then hopefully the collective will add up and we'll be able to do something very, very special for a little man so that he can run across the fields and be free of that contraption that he's got there to help him to walk. All right, family, what I want to do is I want to start off with an example of something that
Joy is grand rising.
That's just annoying. Now, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to play a couple of minutes of this. This is from last week, and here it is here. You'll be able to see that there. That's where it is. So I had to thank you to JH, John Hyatt, for sending this to me. But let's have a listen to this, and you'll get the drift, and we'll unpack it.
Amazing, awesome, incredible, and phenomenal Fight Back Earth family. It is time for a very urgent message from Octavia and myself. We are in the home straight. Now, the EBS has been publicly announced worldwide, including South Africa, via Julius Malema. No matter what you think or other people think about him, he has given us a warning, and that is via the White Hats. So what I can say is all across the world, people have been getting EBS notifications. That is not by chance. That is to prepare us for the EBS. Number two, 50 US senators who are the good guys were given satellite phones or Q phones and are underground in an underground bunker, preparing for the event. Now, the way we look at this event is not negatively. It is a positive event that will trigger martial law worldwide, that will also trigger the RV and the GCR. Now, what is the RV? It is the revaluation of currencies worldwide from a fiat currency to a gold asset-backed currency. Okay, the global currency reset means that the dollar will be no longer the reserve currency of the world, and every country's currency will be trading commodity-wise and economically-wise on a one-to-one basis. Now, the EBS is the trigger, but before the EBS, the RV and the GCR must happen, meaning people will have enough money before the 2 to 4 week shutdown happens. That is not some hearsay message. This message is the truth. This message means that before the 1st of June or before or on the 1st of June, we will be getting, for those in the bond redemption process, we will be getting our payments for our bonds that we have got. That is a worldwide process. It is a very complex process. It is a process that involves many different facets. Now, the first...
All right, so what I want to do, I want to intervene here. So he's come out and said, this is the truth, this is what's happening. The White Hats have used Julian Malema. Now, Julian Malema is one deadly dude. He's a South African leader of a very, very a militia-style political movement in South Africa. And he's violent. He's been attributed to all sorts of really nasty things that are going on in South Africa. And so, but this guy here, whoever he is telling us that the White Hats, the good people, so-called, have sent this Julian Malema instructions. Okay, so this is what's happening. But keep listening for a couple more minutes.
The first phase of the RVGCR process has been done, with all banks that are supposed to be Basel 3 and 4 compliant, meaning the assets in their bank is asset backed. A number.
I'm going to just fast forward it a wee bit, guys.
Which are subsidiary banks to the major banks. The Reserve Bank is bankrupt. The reason why they hiked interest rates is very strategic.
I'm going to fast forward it again.
They will be chaos. We will only have 24.
Now listen to this bit. I'm just going to take it back a wee bit. I want you to focus on what he's saying here, because this is where the rubber meets the road.
Are in place. And when the EBS happens, Project Odin will ensure that the Tesla towers that are stationed in and around the planet will be switched on. So you don't need to worry about those kind of things. For medical emergencies, the military will be out in force, and emergency services. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting, and it's going to be chaotic. 99% of South Africans and the world have no clue what's happening. There will be chaos. We will only have 24 hours notice. You have to have your emergency broadcast switched on your phone to receive the emergency broadcast system EBS message, or the emergency alert system message. So when that comes through, you will have 24 hours. Listen to the military. Do what the military tells you to do. They will.
Now, I find that really strange that he's saying, listen to the military. Listen to the military and do what they ask you to do.
There will be a shutdown in 17 strategic states in America. And all around America and across the earth, the military has been stationed ready for the operation. The military, like I said, are going to ramp this operation up to the next level, and we all need to be ready. During the EBS, for a 3-8 hour broadcast will be planned on our devices and our TVs and radios 24/7. There will be no mainstream media. On the same note, Rupert Murdoch is dead. So that means the cabal no longer have control of the mainstream media.
Well, we know that's not working out too well, because they seem like they've got it all today.
And we will see all the trials, and the truth will be revealed.
All right. So he's talking about the trials. So again, it's that referencing to the Gitmo executions of crimes against humanity, actors and players that we've never seen evidence of, but he's only got a little bit to go.
When the truth is revealed, people need to be calm as possible, and we need to be, those of us who are in 5D need to be awake.
Now he's saying those of us which are in 5D
awakened and ready for people who are in 3D, because they're going to go mal. They're going to be mad. They're going to go crazy because they've poisoned their bodies with the vaccines. They've also vilified us who didn't take it. They're going to
see, this is a cunning ploy, guys, and I'm going to unpack it in total in a second, where they're saying he's trying to distinguish between 5D people and 3D people. And he's saying that those that are unvaxxed are the 5D, and those who are vaxxed are the 3D. But they would look at someone like me, even though I'm not vaxxed, they'd probably look at me as a 3D individual.
No, the truth about Pizzagate, and they're going to see execution, etc. So you only have 24 hours to buy what you need in terms of basic supplies and Medicaid.
All right, so you get the drift. I think that'll do for now. So you get the drift. This guy puts this message out. It goes viral. Every man and his dog was emailing me last week going, oh, Billy, it's going to happen. This is what's happening. I went live and I said, well, you know what? I'm speaking to some pretty high-powered people from around the world, and not one of them have said anything to me about any of this. I had no intel leaks. I had nothing. And I've got some pretty incredible people in the States that I know, and just nothing from anywhere and from any one of them saying that this is going to happen. Right, so what date are we today? I think I should know. It's the 4th of June, and nothing. Not a bean. But having said that, we know that there's a stuff in the media that that they're promoting in the USA that there's going to be a right-wing attack on digital infrastructure and electricity infrastructure in the United States, and they're blaming already those right-leaning, centre-right, far-right extremists like you and me, apparently, that what you and I are, which I can't imagine anyone, if they were like you and I, would do that, right? Because a lot of people would die. Innocent people would die. You turn the power off, what are you going to get? You're going to get people that are on life-saving support machines that'll get switched off. And, you know, as we've seen, you know, people that are on home dialysis or home breathing apparatuses that don't have generator setups, they'll die. So I'm not really into that as an option. So, but this guy is saying that this is going to happen, it's going to come, it's going to black out the entire earth, and then what will happen is, another play that's part in there, is that apparently there are Tesla stations all around the world, and they'll be switched on, and everybody's going to get free power and free electricity, and we're going to go into a 5D economy. Well, I tell you what, I knew it at the time, and I'll say it again tonight, it's just clickbait type hysteria created to get listeners and people that are going to take notice of this. But I also think it is to suspend critical thinking, because if you're totally fearful, if you are in a hysterical mindset, then your decision making goes through the back of your brain. That's the lowest quality area of your brain to make decisions from. But if you're calm, if you're collected, then your thinking will come through here. And that's why when they train you in first response or army or police, things like that, they put you under pressure because they want to see how you respond under pressure and if you've got what it takes to keep the thinking in the frontal lobe area. But the thing is that the freedom fighter movement is grasping at straws and anything that we can. I don't believe that's the way to do things, and I've always said that from day one: stay cool, stay calm, stay factual, on solid ground, and you know the rest. And so to deal with these guys that are sitting in these positions of power and authority from around the world and down at the WASP hive, you know, we need to keep our wits about us. Now, the fact is that there are a lot of stupid people in the military, the police, and civil society that are going along with this, thinking that it's the complete right thing to do. But it's not the complete right thing to do. It's not even a partial part of the right thing to do, but they're going along with it because the crowd always goes where the crowd will go. They follow each other. We've got the sheep mentality. Now, I don't want to be horrible and say that people that are going along with the narrative are all dead asleep sheep, but they seem like that to us because you think, you know, this is not a left and right issue. This is a decency, rights, human rights, civil rights issue, and we are on the cusp of having it all ripped out from underneath us. But what they're doing, and what I believe they've done with the freedom movement in New Zealand, I reckon it's infiltrated. I saw it in 2020. I came along, didn't expect at all to be the leader of the fastest growing, biggest political party in New Zealand history, far out stripping the Māori Party, what they did when the foreshore issue came up. I never expected that. I was a wild card. I didn't have any intention to become a politician. I don't like politicians, or trust them, as you know. One or two exemplary exceptions, but essentially, I don't find them a good breed. And so I was a wild card, but I saw the way that people gravitated around me, and I was open to everyone. I just thought, well, if you support what I'm saying, you must be a good person and want the same things. Boy, was I naive, and boy, was I wrong, because I had every man and his dog jump on my curtails and try and ride the Billy TK wave, right? And so I pulled that rug out of underneath from everyone and said, look, I'm not going to go on with politics, not because I can't fight the fight, but I knew that I could fight the fight better from outside, and I've done that. I've done more work since not being in politics, doing what I've done in the last, 2.5 years since that time period. I've done more work and been more consistent in my workload towards freedom education, freedom advocacy, etc., than I was when I was doing the political thing. Because I had someone say to me that I only left the politics because I couldn't handle the hard work. I'm an absolute, as Auntie Barb, who's watching this, will verify, I'm a nut of a workaholic. I don't stop. If it wasn't for the Sabbath and God saying that we are to keep the Sabbath holy and to rest and all that, I never would. I'd be either working out there or I'd be working on this, typing away non-stop 24/7. So that never was it. I knew that I could work better from outside of the political realm. Why? Because you would see that the things I'm saying, I'm not saying because I want to get into Parliament. Now, that brings me to another point around the freedom politics, so-called, in New Zealand. I believe it's corrupted. I believe it's wrong. I believe it's full of people that, you know, they're saying, hey, look, you know, the whole freedom and rights issue, you know, I'm almost completely over the idea of these politicians that were already in Parliament that didn't say anything to support us in 2020 with our fight for freedom and to get this government accountable. I don't believe them. I just don't. Yes, people can have the road to Damascus experience and all that thing. I understand that. I've had that experience myself over probably a half a dozen issues like that in my life. But this is a basic thing about how you're wired. And you either knew that something was wrong in 2020 and you spoke up about it, even if it was just to your friends or your family, your whānau at home, or you go and create a platform like we did and speak from that to try and wake people up about it. But it was genuine. There was never a, to me, the carrot was never about getting into Parliament to enjoy the benefits and the trimmings and the rewards that go with going to Parliament. That was never it for me. I wanted one thing only, and that was to live in peace with my whānau and get this rubbish stopped that we were dealing with. That's all I really wanted. I didn't really want to go to live in Wellington. I wanted to stay home. So God didn't have me going there. They stopped me from going in there, and the rest is history now. But what I want to say to you is this, is look at the, judge the behaviour. Don't listen to what people say alone. It's got to correspond with the behavior. In the book of James in the Bible, it says, I will show you my faith by my works, and by my works I will show you by my faith. Now, to change it into a worldly interpretation of that, I'd say, well, listen to the things I do and watch me live them. Don't just listen to the things I do, watch me live them and demonstrate that I believe what I say. Now, one of the problems I have is like when you get someone like Matt King, who I had various reports last week of him going down the South Island all around having these meetings and telling people what a great party the National Party is. Well, I've got a beef with that. Because why? Not because he said that, but because how is it that someone that is genuine about rights and freedoms and sovereignty say that a party that is one of the epitomes of the threat of losing personal freedoms and liberty and national sovereignty, how can you endorse a party like that? You get my drift? Chris Luxon and the policies of National are almost no different to the Red Team, except they're painted blue and they're riding on an economic promise that they're going to fix the economy, da-da-da-da-da, and get everybody in jobs and everybody's going to have lower inflation and all those things. That's the promise that Chris Luxon, no mention about getting rid of the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act, no mention about protecting us from the international health regulations and the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty of the WHO, no mention of booting carbon trading and the emissions trading scheme nonsense out of our country once and for all, no mention about any of those things, no mention about getting rid of this this counterfeit He Pūapua document, no mention about so many other things that would convince us they were the right thing to do, to vote for them. No mention of getting rid of the significant natural areas and what else is there? Three waters properly. And so anyone that supports a party like that has got to have problems. So he may have come out and said, well, you know, I don't like the WHO, etc. But for me, to look further beyond politicking, you got to look at who they're claiming as their allies or the things that they, or another political party that they admire or have an affinity with. So that's my caution there. Now, you know, really at the end of the day, you're going to vote for who you're going to vote for, but measure the words of the person, of the politician, against their track history and against how they're how they're behaving and what they're saying today. Because I'd be very, very worried if anyone said they'd like the National Party. I'd be very worried about that, okay? Number two, people are asking me and going on about this new viral video about Brian Tamaki and the whole thing there. Now, I'm not going to go in about the whole political thing there, but I'm going to say the same thing. Judge them by their behavior. This is a man that says he's there for the freedom and rights to stop this overreaching government, to stop the testing and the COVID-19 tyranny. But yet, and I've reported on this before, yet he admits he's double jabbed. He's got a testing site at his church. He's partners with a company that makes millions of dollars out of putting this dangerous vaccine in the arms of Maori and Pacific Islanders in South Auckland. And what else is it that he does? And he was selling masks that had the words freedom on it. Again, is it about the man, personality? No, it's not. No, we want to be clear on that. Because I can't read inside his heart. Only God can do that. But what we can do is look at the behavior. Does he seem genuine? Well, I'll put the same lens on him as I just did with Matt. He's saying he's about stopping the COVID tyranny, blah, blah, blah. Yet he talks about COVID-19 as being a vital thing to be tested for. Now, anyone who's done any work in this space will know that the PCR tests are horribly, horribly, horribly faulty. They've been withdrawn from service around the world. And he and his wife are saying, go and get tested. And then what if they turn up positive? What does that mean? Does that mean they go get a jab? Does that mean they go get a jab? And that's the problem. That's one of the problems there. So what I'm asking you, I don't want to sound like I don't want to start diminishing these men, because I don't know their hearts. But look at the behavior and judge the behavior. Everybody makes a mistake now and then. I'm certainly not perfect. Just ask my wife and children, right? So you can excuse those things. But the root foundational aspects of these parties you need to look at. Because if they're saying one thing and acting and doing another, then you know that your vote is probably not good. Now, if it went there, now the problem is this, and I know what the other part of the questions I've been receiving is, well, who the heck do we vote for? Well, why don't we actually put some effort into promoting we get rid of the system and get a system that actually has the people create a system that'll work for it? How about that? I think that might be something. But the problem is none of the freedom and political parties are talking about these types of issues. They're not saying the entire system is corrupt, we need to get rid of it. And I was saying back in 2020 that my whole thing is I want to get inside Parliament, be the watchdog, be the alert alarm for everyone, wave the red flag when needed, and if I can find out how to dismantle that system. That was my mission if I had gotten in. And so, if I may say, that is the best way I believe that we work out who we vote for. The problem is I won't be voting this year at all, because I don't believe it's going to help. I don't believe that there's anything there that I can vote for that is going to be the right thing to be a part of, which is why I created, one of the reasons why I created the political party back in 2020, because there was no one to vote. There's no one I trusted that would adequately fight for your rights and mine and my tamariki as well. All right, so I just wanted to do those things. So let's be calm when we work these things out. Again, I hope I'm not offending anybody tonight with these thoughts and views, because we've got to be smarter than what we have been, you know. And all I see is that we're getting more and more desperate in the freedom movement. We're not thinking things through. We're bolting ourselves onto anyone that says the right things, and I don't know if we're doing the right sort of levels of due diligence. All right, now this article here. Now this is an interesting one. This is an interesting one. Now this is from One News, the woke government state agency. And what are they saying? They're talking about the Tiananmen Square anniversary, the 35th anniversary of China's Tiananmen Square crackdown a move that signals the city's shrinking freedom of expression. Now, these are people in Hong Kong that are getting arrested for what? For protesting, is that right? Yep, certainly is. They detained 8 people for protesting about what went down in the Tiananmen Square. Now, don't forget that the same police force that you see here arresting and taking these people away is the same police force that recently came to New Zealand to talk about to train the New Zealand police how to deal with civil unrest. Do you remember that article? Do you remember that article? I'm sure you do. And so what you've got here is the irony of one news talking about Hong Kong getting rid of 8 people, detaining them, and doing this whole bit of nonsense there, arresting these people and doing all that. Well, I want to remind One News that celebrated my arrest that this is me getting arrested here. This is Auckland, New Zealand, and this is me. It was funny because when we got arrested, of course, they had one photo of Vinny with me and then a whole bunch of me on my own. But isn't this the same thing? Could the headlines have said, Auckland's police arrest detained too? Isn't it the same thing that we're looking at here as to what we were just looking at over here? I think it is. I think it's remarkably the same. And that's what we have in New Zealand. We have a communistic society that is hell-bent on robbing us of our rights and freedoms, and we are not tackling it the right way. Now, I want to go into this because this whole thing about what's happening with the World Health Organization is it's really ramping up. Now, I do need to remind you all, if you haven't already, we all need to sign this here. Now, I'm just going to go to camera 4. Thank you. Right. So this is the preventgenocide.org. I'll just clean that up. PreventGenocide2030.org website. And this is our action plan. Let me say that again. This is our action plan item. So to put pressure on the MPs, members of parliament, to leave the WHO. Now, we've already had a response. Karen, our friend Karen, Sister Karen, she had a reply from Stuart Smith, who was the national MP for... he's a national MP for National and in Kaikoura, and he sent a really good reply saying that he doesn't like the WHO and doesn't support any of it. Now, Prevent Genocide, that's the action button I just clicked on, and then what you have here, you've got this page here, right? You've got all these different pages. And what about contact New Zealand lawmakers? Click that button and it takes you to this, calling all Kiwis, let all New Zealand voices be heard, right? Click it again, click the New Zealand flag again. It'll take you to another page, take action New Zealand, exit the WHO. And then of course what you've got an easy area to fill out there, ready to go for you. And all you do is you've got a letter ready to go, and then you just hit the send down the bottom and it'll go to all of the MPs in Parliament. Now, there's 10 reasons here on the side as to why we need to leave the WHO. Conflicts of interest, oh yeah. Misguided focus on vaccines, yep. Bureaucracy and waste, fear mongering, dangerous recommendations, false model of health, power grab, mistakes, out of touch, secrecy, because they are incredibly, incredibly secret, aren't they? They're terrible, these guys. And they are trying to decide what is right for you and your life, and I don't remember giving them authority to do that. Now, this is Michelle Bachmann she's an interesting lady. I'm not too sure about her, but she says some good things about this. Let's have a listen. I'm just going to bring that back a wee bit. Let's have a listen to what she has to say. Oh, let's try that again, shall we? I think we will. Now that's interesting. Seems to have frozen here. Yeah. Okay, give us 1 second, Kyler, and let's see what's going on here. You always have this trouble with Rumble, I'm afraid. You always do. Anyway, let's see what's going on here. Let's see if we can get that back. Nope, it's completely frozen there. And let's go that way. Let's go back that way and see. Nope, it's amazing. It says that it cannot be. Huh. Let's try that again. Because I had all this lined up, by the way. Let's see if this will work for us. Nope, it's saying no, it's not going to work for us at all. Let's have a look. Isn't that funny, guys? All right, that's not going to work for us. So let's go to this article I wanted to share with you. So this article here is about how the World Health Organization could fight future pandemics. Now, these guys make me laugh. This is Reuters, right? Corrupt and super corrupt is Reuters media. And of course, they've got the picture of the man himself, the terrorist himself. Anyway, that's Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, attends the World Health Assembly at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland. This is just a couple of weeks ago. And basically, they're focusing on dealing with, listen to this, on new rules for dealing with pandemics underway at the World Health Organization with a target date of May 24th for a legally binding agreement to be adopted by the UN Health Angels Agency's 194 member countries. So right then and there, some important things have been said. The agreement is legally binding, their rules, 194 member states are signing it, and that's it. So people are saying it's not binding, it's all this thing. You've got the left saying it's not binding. What are you on about? You're all being a bunch of freaks, worrying about nothing. So a new pact is a priority for WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who called it a generational commitment. That's right. Why is it generational? Because by the time he thinks we die out, the kids that are born into it won't know freedom. That we will not go back to the old cycle of panic and neglect. You see, this is the thing. Problem, reaction, solution, isn't it? So what is the so-called pandemic treaty? The WHO already has binding rules known as the International Health Regulations. That's right, and that's what they've got. 300 amendments that'll do away with your national and personal and citizen sovereignty. This is not good. And it set out countries' obligations where public health events have the potential to cross borders. These include advising the WHO immediately of a health emergency and measures on trade and travel. And then it just goes on and on and on. But essentially, what they're talking about here is this legal binding agreement. It'll have the IHRs, International Health Regulations, that have been amended, on which provide the overarching principles for the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. Because these IHRs, they really are. That they have framed them in such a way that when it comes to the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, that they'll, in my view, they'll have a double whammy. They've got the International Health Regulations that are binding. They've got the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty that will be binding. And so there's no question about it being binding. This is a legally binding agreement on governments. But what does it mean to us? Now, we talked about this last weekend with James Roguski and Sister Dr. Rima, and it's very, very clear. They've got things and had things in the IHRs, International Health Regulations, such as doing away with human rights, doing away with personal rights, human rights, all these things that are important to your life, my life, and that of our tamariki, our children. That's actually for me where the rubber hits the road, because they're going to make it so that when say, for example, let's use Samoa that had the measles outbreak. They say Samoa's had a measles outbreak. It could come out to New Zealand. So then the WHO says Samoa has a public health event, emergency event of international concern. And so we're going to lock down all of the Pacific Island countries in New Zealand until we've got this thing under control. And that's basically the rule of thumb of it. And that's a really big blinking problem, because we saw how the New Zealand government capitulated completely to already with COVID-19 to the directors of the WHO. They locked us down for weeks. People were killing themselves. People were killing other people. You know, economic destruction, social disease, nervous breakdown, you name it. And now you think they're going to slow that down once they have authority? They're drunk with it. They're drunk with it. And that's why, what the heck is going on with New Zealand with this Public Health Response Act 2020? Because they promised us, didn't they, that they would let it go as soon as there was no risk that 85,000 people wouldn't die, they would get rid of it. Right, so let's look at this. This was in stuffed.com.nz. Though the WHO isn't about to deprive New Zealand of its sovereignty, all right? That's what they're saying. What's the issue? Member states of the World Health Organization are in the process of drafting a global agreement or accord on pandemic prevention, preparedness and response. At the same time, the International Health Regulations, a global framework for controlling the spread of disease and other public health hazards between countries, are being revised. Like, that's no problem. Okay, at that time, she should say, and up until recently, they had items in that agreement that control travel, control surveillance, control whether someone has an entitlement to human rights and all that, but no, it doesn't go there. Claims on social media, including by a former Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand, suggest these processes will force countries to cede authority to the WHO. The WHO. New Zealanders will be highly concerned that the World Health Organization proposes to effectively take control of independent decision-making away from sovereign countries and place control with the Director General. That's right. The WHOs say this isn't true. Of course they do. It's unclear whether Peter's tweets are referring only to the IHRs being revised or also the new accord. These are two separate things. They are two separate things, but they relate to each other because they both give power to the WHO. First introduced, and she gives a bit of history in it. And the accord since 2021, Aotearoa New Zealand has been working alongside other WHO member states on an international legal instrument on global pandemic prevention, preparedness and response. This has been dubbed the Pandemic Treaty, an intergovernment negotiating body involving all countries of the WHO that want to take part, began discussions earlier this year. Are they trying to play dumb, these journalists? Anyway, a 32-page draft called a Zero Draft lays out a vision for greater equity, that's Agenda 2030 language, and effectiveness in controlling pandemics. Negotiations will continue the next year, with the INB expected to present its final product to the 77th World Health Assembly. Aotearoa New Zealand is actively engaged in both issues, the Ministry of Health said, and that's right. So our very own Director of Doom, Ashley Bloomfield, is now the number two and two equal in the International Health Regulations Committee. And this is this is a really evil thing they're doing, I tell you. It's important to note the treaty process is led fully by member states, WHO member states, representing all regions of the world. This means governments, including New Zealand's, are working together to decide on what needs to be done. They aren't being told what to do. Really, is that what you think? Kate, Kenny, you don't know anything about what you're talking about. Because look, they can say what they want, but what have we seen? What have we seen? We've seen in New Zealand, we've seen an ex-WHO medical bureaucrat, Ashley Bloomfield. We saw him come into the Director General's role. We see him mismanage the COVID-19 issue in New Zealand. So dramatically did he get it wrong that I find it hard to keep myself under control, because the documentary that we have done has got it all in it. He's an absolute criminal. He's an absolute flipping criminal, Ashley Bloomfield. He stuffed it up. He cost thousands of New Zealanders their lives, millions livelihoods. And this WHO medical bureaucrat completes his role at New Zealand, doing the destruction, following every WHO directive to the letter, implementing it to test to see how the New Zealanders would fare under a WHO program like this. It just about killed our country. And he got his reward. He gets put there by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade in the WHO. He's number two in the international health regulations. He's as high, almost as high as you can get in the WHO now. So whatever he was between 2010 and 11, when he was at the WHO then, oh, this is nothing now. This is completely sky-high miles above where he was in 2010-11. Why? Because he's earned his pips, as we say in the army. He's earned his stripes. He's done the job, and that guy there is in this IHR team. But what Kate Kenny doesn't seem to realise is that, you know, this is the Delphi technique in Verity. Delphi technique. What is that, you may say? It's when Auckland Council, and I saw this in real life, Auckland Council has an engagement workshop with all these people that come in to engage with them about a particular item and getting their support for it. But the decision's already been made. It's going to happen. And all they do is get the people come in and get them to agree to something that they really didn't want to agree to, but they go along with it because they get suckered into it and get a free lunch and a petrol voucher, and away they go, nice and happy. But that's what it is here. They have got WHO medical bureaucrats in these bureaucratic positions in their governments that are going to the WHO, and what are they doing at the World Health Assembly? They're talking about these treaties that the WHO want. Who's going to speak up against them? Who is going to speak up against them? The only ones that have been speaking up against them are the Africans. But maybe that just might change, because as we saw in the Bali leaders' declaration, the G20 in Bali last year, remember we covered that? They've set up a multi-billion dollar fund to bribe poor nations to do what the WHO and the UN want. That's how it works. And we have got the worst of the worst people in our country wanting to affect this. And it is legally binding, Katie. This is just unbelievable. Now, what they do have here is the IHR amendments that have been published. But these are the same IHR amendments that they are saying that they wanted to have human rights and human dignity taken out of it. Now, why would they want that taken out of it? Why would they want that taken out of it? I find it a very big and important question to ask, isn't it? And so anyway, New Zealand must uphold an international treaty the country has signed if the government has ensured it is law in our country. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. At least you got something right in there. So if they sign up to it, we are signed up to it and bound to it. So in summary, claims that WHO is planning on depriving countries of their sovereignty via amendments are not true. Well, I think you're going to be found that you're going to be proven to have been a liar. What is her name again? Katie Kenny. Because this is an absolute shocker. And you've got fantastically brave politicians all around the world warning their people. You've got senators in the US that are saying no, that there is no way that this is going to happen in the US. Now, here we go. It looks like we've got it going here now. I'm going to share this article with you. I've got a few more things I want to share with you guys. But I'm going to share... All right, let's get... Whoop, what's happened here? Excuse me one second. Let's go back to there. And let's bring that on there. Camera 4, thank you. Yeah, let's go there. Oh, golly. Sorry, guys. I hit the wrong button there. Let's go there.
Congressman right, Bachman, go. Dean Bachman, you were the first one to kind of bring this to our attention. You were in the war room. Exactly is going on in Geneva at the World Health Organization. And how do we get so far down the road of it looks like signing something that's going to expand the sovereignty, the ability of the World Health Organization in Geneva, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, to affect the sovereignty of the United States of America?
That's right. It's hard to believe, Steve, but in less than 2 weeks' time, a vote will take place in Geneva, Switzerland, at the World Health Assembly. They're important because they're the governing body of the World Health Organization, WHO. This authority that they would be given would impact 99.4% of all the people in the world. There are 193 nations belonging to the UN. The Biden administration is bringing amendments that would propose that all nations of the earth cede their sovereignty over national health care decisions to the WHO, the World Health Organization. So what this would mean, Steve, is that the WHO would have decision-making authority to intervene into the United States government policy in any nation of the world without our permission. So for instance, the lockdowns where you see 26 million people today locked down in Shanghai, China, they can't leave their apartments or homes. The WHO would have the authority to be able to impose that here in the United States for whatever pretext they want. They don't have to show data, they could do this. What this does, Steve, bottom line, is it creates a platform for global governance. Global governance through the WHO. This is what people need to know. It's time sensitive. No one knew about this. The Biden administration gave these proposed amendments to the World Health Organization on January 18th. No one in America knew this until April 12th, less than a month ago. The Biden administration posted these amendments. But in less than 2 weeks in Geneva, Switzerland, the delegates will vote on this. The Biden administration has already released a list of countries, 40 of the most powerful countries in the world, including Canada, including the EU, including the UK, including Australia. These countries are going along with the Biden administration's insane push to give sovereignty over the untrustworthy WHO.
All right, so Michelle Bachmann, she's pretty onto it, actually. The entire interview, you'll go to Real America's Voice, and you will see it there. It's a pretty intense 8 minute. Well, they put 8 minutes up anyway. Interview with her, and she's onto it. Now, the question you got to ask is, why would all these senators, like Senator Malcolm Roberts, you've got Senator Babbitt, you've got Ron Johnson, you've got Rand Paul, you know, just oodles of them, including Michelle Bachmann here, Tulsi Gabbard, all of them that are speaking up against these things. These are not dumb people, and they're a lot smarter than old Katie Kenny there from stuff.com.nz, and frankly, a lot smarter than me, I would say. I hope not, but anyway. Why would these people want to just talk about these issues as if they have no real bearing or impact on us? Because I believe they do. I believe we've already seen what the heck is going on with these people once they get power, and it ain't good. It ain't good at all. And so, do you trust these people? Do you trust a World Health Organization that thinks it's absolutely a-okay to teach your children about sex and sexual issues at the age of 4, so that they can do these things? Anyway, I want you to have a look at this, because this is absolute vomit material. Have a look at this. How ironic, how very, very ironic, a Māori woman is doing that. How very ironic. All right, so that there is the knighthood of Ashley Bloomfield. This is the same Ashley Bloomfield that has introduced a program in schools, teaching kids how to meditate and invite all sorts of strange things into themselves. Now, again, if you want to meditate as an adult, go for gold. I meditate. I meditate the way that the Bible has taught me. I don't do TM or transcendental meditation, which is what I learned when I was younger. But now you've got this guy here. Here he is. Just make that a bit bigger. He's now endorsing a program that is about teaching kids how to what? So they want to teach them how to have sex at four, how to touch each other and touch other people, touch themselves, all that sort of thing. And this guy is doing it. What is it? Pause, breathe, and smile. This is absolutely the worst. This is the same man that advocates WHO principles and that. So this is the highest form of irony, really, isn't it? It really, truly is. But anyway, I want to move on to, I've got to move quick now because I want to get these other, I want to get these other articles in front of you because they're really important as well. All right, now this here is Shane Retty. Now this proves my point. It doesn't matter, the devil in pink or the devil in blue or the devil in red or devil in blue, because they are all the same. Now this is from a meeting. This is from a meeting where Shane Retty has been held up by people asking him questions. I'm surprised this wasn't Uncle Raz, but let's have a look at this. Let's just start this again. Hold on 1 second. All right, right at the beginning. So this is a public meeting and Shane Retty is getting cornered about this very issue we're talking about.
There are some murmurings that the World Health Organization is slowly becoming a global authority, whereby they will have authority to mandate actions, implementations within member nations. Actions such as extreme lockdowns, forced killer vaccinations, the banning of various medications, which have been proven and known for a long time. It will mandate censorship, it will ban speech, it will force member nations to even detain people who object to a World Health Organization narrative. What is your position?
He's absolutely right, this man, he's fully onto it.
In regard to avoiding New Zealand becoming subject to global authorities and keeping laws and policies within New Zealand.
So I have seen this, it was IHCR and WHO, and in fact I asked the minister questions on this about every month for the past 3 months, and what he says to me is they did contribute a delegate to the meeting, but they in no way will they compromise sovereignty.
Now, this is interesting. You listen to what Reddy is saying here. You have a good listen to what he's defending.
Oh, and by the way, the treaty itself is non-binding. So while there is, and not the things I'm...
Now, hear what he just said. What did he just say? I'm going to take it back. Listen to what he said.
Non-binding. So while there is, and not the things I'm... And WHO, and in fact, I asked the minister questions on this about every month for the past 3 months. And what he says to me is they did contribute a delegate to the meeting, but they in no way will they compromise sovereignty. Oh,
no way they would not compromise sovereignty.
And by the way, the treaty itself is non-binding.
And what did he say? And by the way, the treaty is non-binding. What did we just read? What did we just talk about? That this pandemic treaty is binding, legally binding. So are these ministers plain dumb? Are these senior MPs plain stupid and dumb and uninformed, or are they just being plainly covertly dishonest, or rather blatantly dishonest?
So while there is, and not the things I'm, the things that you're mentioning I'm aware of, but I have not seen any evidence of it in the treaty as it's been as I've seen it anyway, so it may be there. I couldn't say otherwise, but what I do know is
he's tripping over his tongue here. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's not binding, just like any other treaty.
So you can guarantee that if New Zealand is ordered by overseas authorities to implement the WHO directive, you will oppose that?
No one can order us to do anything. We're a sovereign country. So.
it is non-binding, as we see at the moment.
See?
The UN has an army to say that.
It's called NATO, man. Yeah.
So he's got a problem there, Shane Retty. He is with a whole bunch of people that know what they're talking about. Let's have a look at this one.
And I'll also be looking at the stats website, and if you look at the number of boosted people who are elderly versus...
Now, this is around vaccine injuries and that. This is around the New Zealand government's medsafe.govt.nz CALM report. So what he's referring to and asking about here is where has the report gone?
People who are just double vaccinated and unvaccinated. It seems to be a serious discontinuity that a lot of people who are elderly and double boosted are dying at a much greater rate. And also I'm hearing evidence of people who have been ignored or told that their vaccine injuries are not something to do with the vaccine, like a lady who had a vaccine and then her leg blew up and she never had any issues like that before with the blood clot. And she got this, my hairdresser a week ago, I'd never been asked for this, so I didn't talk about, you know, my view. She told me, she was opposite the vets clinic, telling me that the ambulance was sitting outside all day with people with vaccine injuries. And I'm just wondering, well, my question for you is, are you going to ask questions about why the register has not been updated? It hasn't, you know, in the last six months, the last time it was done was December. And are you going to make sure that the vaccine injuries are properly investigated so that we understand what's really going on and can fix things, you know, if there are problems, and I think there are serious problems there?
Well, see, I've already been asking those questions because someone with a lot more knowledge than I have in this area pointed them out to me probably 12 or 15 months ago and pointed out the delay that New Zealand had in reporting.
Now, that's a really, really, really very concerning thing that Reti just said. He just said that he doesn't know about these issues. Just have a listen to what he said again. And he should know about these issues. He's the spokesman for the National Party.
Serious problems there.
Well, see, I've already been asking those questions because someone with a lot more knowledge than I have in this area pointed them out to me probably 12 or 15 months ago and pointed out the delay that New Zealand had in reporting to the WHO database. For example, significant delays, and when I inquired that of the minister, there were some issues around getting the data in the right form or, you know, whatever. So I have been looking at what those vaccine injuries, again, go online and you'll see my questions to that. I wasn't aware that they had stopped doing that in December, so I'd have to look back at the last time I raised that question, but I have been exploring that with expertise around me bigger than I have, so I thought it was an important question as well. Probably what I'll then do is re-raise those questions and ask them again, because again, I wasn't aware that it had stopped in December and the person that I've been working with hadn't flagged it with me either. So if I go online, you'll see my track record hunting that. It didn't make sense to me either. I think that's really important. And what I'll do is I'll refresh those questions. I'll go to this analyst and make sure I'm asking the right questions, but I'll refresh them. But if you look online with my name, you'll see me asking those questions actually.
All right, so our job is to keep that man honest, because what are we going to find? We're going to find he's probably going to be the Minister of Health after the next election. And so is he talking out the side of his mouth? Now, my dear friend Uncle Raz had an interesting conversation with Shane Reddy, and Shane Reddy basically confessed up to him that the control for this whole issue around COVID and all of it that we've lived through for the last 3 years was being controlled by and influenced by those outside of government. And you can see it. So when you get him saying that it's that the treaty is not, and we're talking about the World Health Organization's Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. We're not talking about Te Tiriti or Waitangi, just in case you got the wrong number there, caller. We're talking about the Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. And he's saying, well, it's not binding. He was told by the minister that it was not binding. Now, someone's lying here. Either Shane Reddy is lying to the people out there to make them more amiable towards him and trying to make them less concerned, or the minister lied to the opposition party's health spokesperson and told him it wasn't binding when it is. But the other question is, you got to ask, he's on over $200,000 a year, that man. Why the heck doesn't he know? Why doesn't he know what I know, what you know, what that man that was asking him the questions about the issues, why doesn't he know what they know? It's pretty bad, isn't it? I've got three more articles up here that I want to get across to you guys. Just be with me. Now, this guy here, I like this guy. And he's basically saying stuff that I've said to you all for a long time now about climate change, COVID, etc. But let's have a little listen to him, because it's always good hearing it from someone else.
There's a parallel because between both. What do you see? Do you think there's a parallel because between both COVID and climate?
Yes. Let's take a step back. The general rule of thumb that I believe everybody should adopt is that if any problem is being presented as a global crisis, then it is a scam. And the pattern that we are confronted with is really the fabrication of global crises, the presentation either of non-existent problems or small local problems as being general global crises. That fabrication, followed by the assertion that the only solutions that are permissible are global ones that require a global authority, global control.
That's right.
That is the general pattern that we are up against. The COVID policy response was one of those. Look at what happened to countries like Sweden or Tanzania, who tried to push back against the orthodoxy, the new orthodoxy. And the climate crisis, the climate change crisis, is another example where we are told that the biggest threat to the world is this molecule, CO2, and that an increase in the level of this molecule will cause an increase in temperature, and that that temperature increase will be bad for us, and that the only thing we can do is consume fewer fossil fuels and less energy. That's fitting the pattern exactly. The other things you can observe is, instead of presenting science as an ongoing evolving activity, it is presented in terms of static knowledge, consensus. And you see the cancellation and censorship of dissident voices rather than engagement with them. These patterns are proof of a scam. That is what people need to understand. Whenever something is presented as the science, as a consensus, it is a scam. You do not have to go and get engaged in all of the minutiae of the scientific principles and the models and the measurements at all. You can know with absolute certainty that you are dealing with a scam when dissent is suppressed.
Well, how about that, guys? Bang on, isn't it? He's bang on, that guy. What a neat, I could listen to him talk all day. All right, now I'm gonna, as I was talking about before, so that message that we started off with tonight, the audio message from such and such and his boyfriend Octavia, the 5D guy, talking absolute nonsense, right? Now, this is another, it's kind of taking that concept that he was talking about, but now with an American twist on it and a bit of politicking. Have a look at this. This is interesting. Now, apparently, right-wingers are people that blow up infrastructure. Have a look at this.
And tactics from right-wing extremists. Catherine Herridge has more on this, and she joins us from Washington. Catherine, we understand the power grid could be a target.
Good morning. According to the intelligence report obtained by CBS News, these groups have developed credible and specific plans to attack the power grid since at least 2020 as a way to disrupt the country and the ability of government to operate. The report warns extremists adhering to a range of ideologies will likely continue to plot and encourage physical attacks against power networks, which include more than 6,400 plants and nearly 500,000 miles of high voltage lines. While the bulletin emphasized small scale attacks are unlikely to cause widespread power loss, it may cause disruption to critical infrastructure like hospitals and police departments. Homeland Security noted several indicators, including online chatter. While the report does not suggest an imminent threat, the Homeland Security Secretary has warned lone wolf actors and small bands of extremists are among the greatest domestic threat because they are hard to detect, disrupt, and can mobilize quickly.
All right. So the problem that I have with this article, as far as New Zealand conditions here, is basically, essentially what you have here is the idea that that people who do not go along with government propaganda, government policies of any shape or kind, are suddenly herded into this corner of definition, and they're basically rebadged, or you're rebadged, I'm rebadged, as a potential domestic threat. Now, we've already got strong language like that in New Zealand. Know the signs. NZSIS and police and the government, they have a listening and spying and surveillance program on people like you and me. I'm bugged the heck. I know I am. I live with it every day. I know it. And I hope that the people that are watching this, you take a good blinking look at yourselves, you intelligence service people, security intelligence service people, because I am a good man. I wish no one harm. I love my country. I love people, and I want us all to be free. If you think I'm a threat, then you are in the wrong job. Because I tell you what, if I was sitting in your shoes spying on someone like me, I'd be going, what the heck am I doing here? this guy isn't a threat. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? And New Zealand is right up to the play with this. The Know the Signs program, which is a East German Stasi-like citizen informer program, is only the tip of the iceberg. Remember they launched it last August? I think it was August the 31st they launched it. Yep, you had Rebecca Kitteridge telling everybody, if you see somebody or hear somebody that, you know, says something that's a little bit off, maybe they don't like COVID policies and the government's response strategies, the very ones that killed thousands of New Zealanders, the very ones that have tried to criminalise me and hundreds of New Zealanders like me and you. This is tyranny, and unfortunately New Zealand is right up the front of it. But the interesting thing that's happening in the United States that comes out of this article is that they're saying similar things to what that man was saying in that audio clip that we listened to tonight. They're saying that 50 of the senators have got special satellite phones and all this and the rest of it in case the grid does go down and they need to have communications. So it's funny how the disinformation part of attacking the freedom movement should alert us to the fact that we've got to be really, really, really careful what we send around. Because, I mean, I remember, when was it? Early last year, when I had, like, so many messages, it wasn't even funny, because someone that used to be a candidate in the NZPP party, she put out there that there was going to be a 3-day lockdown, kids were going to be kidnapped by military from primary schools and from all the schools and held until the parents got their jabs, right? Remember that? And that was complete nonsense, and I came out and said it was. This is the same type of thing where they're trying to create tension, distress, fear, anxiety, and hysteria. And that's what we cannot allow. Now, I want to play this to you guys here just for giggles, really. It's not funny, but you know what I mean. And I want you to have a look at this, because this will just remind us very, very, very succinctly just what it is we're dealing with.
2 years ago, saying the cyber attack is imminent and will make COVID look like a minor inconvenience compared to how horrible it will be when everything shuts down. But then in his own literature, he wants to shut things down and says, wasn't COVID good to let the birdies and bees to be left alone by all of you? You wear eight of bugs and you'll have
all
nothing.
All right, let's just go a bit forward. Let's just go a little bit forward.
It's imminent and will make COVID look like a minor inconvenience compared to how horrible it will be when everything shuts down. But then in his own literature, he wants to shut things down and says, wasn't COVID good to let the birdies and bees to be left alone by all of you? You wear eight of bugs, soon you'll have nothing. Soon you'll own nothing. Soon you will like it. I ain't going to do it for you. So, here it is.
The young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, half of this cabinet, are actually young noble leaders of the world economy. Right. So if we penetrate the cabinets, the change is not just happening. The change can be shaped by us. We have to prepare for a more angry world. How to prepare? To take the necessary action to create a fairer world. I see the need for a great reset. So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is only one way this pandemic is going to go. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack.
All right, so that's really some of that is what that guy was talking about in his in that audio clip earlier tonight, where he's saying that there's going to be a global blackout, electronic, digital, electric, complete global blackout. And that's, of course, what Schwab is talking about here. Isn't that weird? You've got this guy that's meant to be talking about freedom issues and having us all be free and having free energy and all that. He's saying the same thing as this blinking nut job Klaus Schwab is saying, who, of course, is supported by Jacinda Ardern, who is supported by Ashley Bloomfield, people like that, because they are all intricately connected, and that's the problem that we're facing here. The problem is, my dear friends, is that we actually have a government that I believe is amongst the most captured in the planet. I do believe that probably Canada is probably the only one as bad as us. One last one here, I did want to show this. Effectiveness of the coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19 by bivalent vaccine. It's strange. Infectious Disease Society of America results, the risk of the COVID-19 increased with the number of vaccine doses previously received. Now, how many of you, here's a genuine question, I'd like to know your answer in the chat, in the chat thread, and that is, how many people do you know that have had the jab and had COVID? How many? Because I know so many that have had their jabs and had COVID many times, two or three times, right? And I've had people that have been multiply jabbed on multiple occasions, and they've had not only one, but maybe two bouts of COVID-19, so-called. But the problem is it COVID-19? What are they actually getting found positive for? Because we know that the PCR test doesn't work, which is why any organization that offers to test people using the false PCR test have got to be part of the problem. Do you see my logic in this? So if Destiny Church has a big testing site on their church premises, and if it's testing people using the PCR test, is it fair to say that they are supporting a tyrannical, dishonest mistruth? You would only come to the one conclusion, and that is yes. Yes, it is. I mean, I discovered a problem today with a very, very well-known freedom-fighting site that I love. It's something that they stated on their website today made my head spin. I go, how did they not figure that there's a problem with that? They came out and said, because they were having a delay in getting a project done, they said, well, you know, we're late because we've had the last year to work things out that COVID-19 isn't the agenda, it's just a mechanism to help the agenda. What? They didn't figure that out at the beginning? I figured that out back in February, March 2020. So there you go. So may I please, again, advocate that we be really picky about what information we take on, who we vote for, of course, but the information, let's really go through, put it through the works, process it, you know, find out where they're getting their source information from, you know, can somebody back up what they're saying? Can they provide evidence that what they're saying is true, which is bang on, etc.? And if we can do that, then I think we've got a bit of a chance that whoever's teaching you or telling you something, that maybe, just maybe, they've got it right. All right, family, I want to mention this because we've got a week to go. I'm really excited about this, by the way. A week from now, I'm going to be in Nelson for the night, and I'm doing a speaking event, and I would like to invite you all, if you can. I'd like to invite you to come and have dinner with me. Some really neat people are putting this on. I'm going down. It's a bit of a fundraiser for me, but a chance to reconnect with you people, you good people in real life, and to to basically hopefully give you a couple of sneaky previews on some things from the movie, from the film, from the documentary, and also to give you an update in real time as to where I think things are going. And so it's a dinner, it's a three-course dinner, you got some drinks, you got three beautiful courses of food at a beautiful, beautiful venue. You'll be absolutely stoked with that. So may I say that I would love to see you all and hope that you will come and join me for dinner and a speaking event. And I promise you, you'll be inspired, educated, and hopefully given some hope. Now, if you would like to come to this, then the first step is to email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. That's billy@ibc.net.nz. And then what I will do, I will send you the contacts for the person that is running this awesome event for me. And you'll be able to come, book in, get a table, and you will be absolutely sweet. It'll be so, honestly, it's one of the best things I do love about this job is actually meeting people and getting out there and sharing what it is that I believe I know, that I believe that may help you in your journey. All right, family, again, keep the peace in your spirit. I'm glad to have had this time with you. Thank you for tuning in. It means the world to me. Please hit the share button. Some of this information is pretty important. Please don't forget to share the PreventGenocide2030.org website. I need you to do that, please, because we want thousands upon thousands upon thousands of New Zealanders to get in behind this and get us out of the WHO. Also, Des, if you would like to support me in my work, this is the account to do it with. If you would like to donate to me to help me with my legal fees and help me to be able to continue this work that I love to do, then this is the way to do it if you would like to donate. All right, thank you everyone again. I will see you tomorrow night, Monday, the 5th of June, and I wish you and pray that you'll have a safe night, a good sleep, and a peaceful sleep at that. All right, family, do take care. Pō marie and good night.